Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophet, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on to these two commandments." Oh, and then I have to say, like, this is the word of the Lord.
Just want to welcome Julia up, who we are blessed to have sharing with us today. So I'll just quickly pray for you, Julia, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Lord, we thank you for Julia. We thank you for her wisdom, for her heart, and for her love for you, Lord. I just pray, Father, that you just speak to her and that the message that you have on her heart, Lord, will be delivered exactly how you had planned out for her. Amen.
I'll pray for that one. It's been quite a difficult sermon to put together, actually, and I'll explain that a bit at a moment. But I know that you had a most amazing service last week, for Pentecost, and a real sort of special time of inviting the Spirit to come. And really, we're carrying on from that because we're carrying on that prayer. We're in the roars at the moment. And so instead of receive, which was last week, we are responding. So it's about how we respond to the Holy Spirit. And so that's really what I've been tasked with today, with the reading, which was the greatest commandment reading. And so I had sort of the roar and the responding. I've got the greatest commandment and it being Trinity Sunday. And I thought, right, okay, I'll try and weave all those threads together. So I hope that you find that by the end, I've been able to do that for you. I mean, they're all massive topics in themselves. And so I won't be going into depth in all of them, but I'm hoping that they will all come together as one. So first of all, I wanted to think about responding to the Holy Spirit. And I think we often, when we think about the Holy Spirit and receiving the Holy Spirit, we often think of the spiritual gifts, don't we? Yeah? We think of the wisdom and knowledge and faith and tongues and all the other wonderful gifts that God gives us, particularly when we've received that Spirit. And they are all important, and they're all things to be building up the church. You know, it says that they have different gifts, but they're from the same Spirit, and that they're for the good of all. And we mustn't forget that bit. They're for the good of all. But I think sometimes we can over-focus on that aspect of them. And I was struck by this reading in 1 Corinthians 13, and I think I just want to read it. So I got a few readings today, so I hope you bear with me. Because it says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." That really gets to me, that one, isn't it? You know, because it really speaks to me of how we can do the most wondrous things. We can heal, we can have wisdom, we can speak in tongues, we can do all these amazing things. We can even be martyred, it says there. But if we have not love, we have nothing. And as I was pondering that, it came to me, what do we mean by that? What do we mean by love? You know, we often talk about love and we have lots of different ways that we can talk about love. But the thing that I wanted to talk about today, which links in with the Trinity, is that God is love. I'll never forget, my dad was not a Christian at all, but he's in England, this is. This is what happens in England. He got to teach RE. So you can see why that's in such a mess. But anyway, and I always remember the only thing I can ever remember about him talking about anything to do with faith was when he was trying to teach this concept of love to his students. And he said, I had to say, God is love, boy. God is love. Probably in the least loving way that he could. But it's stuck in my head. So whenever I read that passage, but for me, it's like, yes, in a way, he had got the whole core of what it was all about. God doesn't love. God is love. There's a big difference in that. It's the whole essence of the Trinity. There are many different ways of trying to explain the Trinity, and I don't know that we ever will, because it's one of those major mysteries of our faith. But I recently have been reading Cynthia Bogart, and it's called The Law of Three in the Trinity, or something like that, I can't remember the exact title. And she explains the Trinity this way, that it's not just about the three persons of the Trinity in relationship. It's about love in motion. And I love that because it has that ongoing process of the whole universe being wrapped up in this and being constructed and maintained. It is that essence of love that generated the whole of creation. And it is that love that continues to be at work through our world. It came as God has increased it, if you like, moving it, shaping it. It's dynamic, it's moving. That is the love that is of the Trinity. That is the love that we are caught up in. We are part of creation. But not only that, as when we receive the Spirit, when that Spirit inside us is vitalized and brought into creation, it has this amazing power to catch us up, if you like, and we are part of that amazing love that is God. I often find, you know, it struggles to get my head around it, but I think it was Jesus' prayer, John 17, verse 19. Where are we? It's God. I pray also for those who believe in them, in me, through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. It's that essence of being one. Being one and being one in this amazing movement of God's love. So if you like, that brings us right round full circle to this wonderful commandment, you know. The Pharisees were trying to trick Jesus, as they often did, and they wanted him to come up with some other possible commandment, but he puts the nail right on it, doesn't he? You know, what's the greatest commandment? To love God and to love others as you love yourself. And that's the bit that's really important, as you love yourself. You can see in this again that whole Trinitarian movement, isn't it? It's love God, love ourselves, love others. It's all part of that dynamic movement of love. The Jews had up to 600 rules and regulations that they were trying to live by. They knew they'd never, ever, really, ever achieve that. Because the problem is with rules and regulations, as we found out during COVID, is that there's always exceptions, isn't there? There's always an exception, or how do you do that in that situation? And I often think about, you know, when he was talking about the Sabbath, what can you do on the Sabbath? You know, can you walk 1 mile or can you walk 2 miles? Well, perhaps it depends on the situation or whether how hot it is or how much exertion it takes to walk it. I mean, you could come up with a whole range, couldn't you, of different things. And that's why the whole Sermon on the Mount was about Jesus saying, I've come to fulfill the law. Not to live it out and try and work out what it all means, but I've come to fulfill it. because the keeping of the law is totally pointless if you haven't got the motivation of love. Yeah, love has to be the motivation for all of these things. So it's the principle of love that overrides everything else. We can judge all rules and regulations by love. How far we walk depends on where we're walking and why we're walking there. Are we walking there to try and help someone else? Then it doesn't matter how far you walk. So our response to the Holy Spirit, I have got back there, is not about the gifts, although they're important. But it's about receiving and responding to God's love. That's what we're called to do. Everything else fits in around that. We have to, as we receive that Spirit, I don't know about you, but when I receive God's Spirit, I just get overwhelmed by His love. That's first thing. You know, nothing else matters, just His love for me. And it always feels totally undeserved, because I don't know about you, but I always feel I don't like myself very much. I know what goes on in here. I know the things that I don't do that I should be doing. And yet when God's love comes, doesn't it? It just washes that away. It washes it away. And that's why I think in that passage that we had where it says to love others as you love yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, you cannot love others. Because there's always those bits that are causing a little bit of angst and which means that you can't love others in that same way. So although sometimes it feels counter wrong to be loving ourselves, that's exactly what we have to do. We have to ask God to show us how He sees us. Because He sees us very differently, and yet He knows us through and through. And as we can accept that, and accept the love, and accept our love for ourselves, then we're set free. Only then can we be set free to love others. And we can then love others in the same way that we are loved by God. But without that love, we have nothing. We're a noisy gong. We're a clanging cymbal. So my prayer really for today, as we gather, as we continue the journey of receiving God's Spirit, is to perhaps just spend some time just in prayer, just asking yet again, because you can never ask for too much of God's love, to just ask more God's love, for us to see ourselves as God sees us, and then to say, Lord, show me others as you see them. Because that's all we need to do. We don't have to worry about what we're going to do or what we're going to say or have we got this spiritual gift or that spiritual gift. Because if we come from that motivation of love, everything else sorts itself out. So shall we pray? Lord, I just thank you for your amazing love. We thank you that we can get caught up in this spiral of motion that is your love. Your love in this world. I just pray again that you will come, Holy Spirit, that you will fill us with that love, a deep sense of your love for us. Help us to see ourselves as you see us, and help us to see others as you see them. That this message of love may spread in a world that is so hungry and thirsty. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Lord. And if you feel you'd like prayer, I'm happy to have more prayer after the service.